Studio 360.
Thank you, thank you. I'm sorry to say we've come to that time again. Time to say goodnight.
If you were born after the Carter administration, the first time you heard of Lawrence Welk was probably in a recurring sketch on Saturday Night Live, on which Fred Armisen played the old-timey band leader, Lawrence Welk.
Now to take us out is a sister act from the Finger Lakes.
The sketches featured a group of four singing sisters, one of them played by Kristen Wiig, with a freakishly large forehead and freakishly tiny hands and perpetually going way off script.
Even though we're a lot alike, we enjoy different things.
I like waterfalls.
I like butterflies.
I like rainbows.
I like chasing cars.
For those of us old enough to remember the real Lawrence Welk, he was this accordion-playing band leader who had a variety show on television from the early 50s to the early 80s. And he had this curious Eastern European accent. He'd been born and raised in rural North Dakota, but in this German-speaking community. As a child in the 1960s, I remember both sets of my Nebraska grandparents watching the show on Saturday nights, prime time, ABC. And talk about generation gaps. To me, at the time, Lawrence Welk was the epitome of cheesy and dated and square, which is exactly how Paul Foch felt about the show as a kid. Foch now teaches media and communication at New York University and the College of Staten Island. And for our feature called Guilty Pleasures, he talks about how his opinion shifted 180 degrees.
As a kid, I remember my grandfather, a cattle farmer in southeastern Iowa. He was a very quiet man. Taciturn would be the would be the best word. I remember probably Saturday evenings is when he watched TV. When Lawrence Welk came on,
we're happy you could join us as we have a full menu of champagne music. Gentlemen, one, two.
The first thing, of course, is the hair. The over-the-top hairstyles. The sets were just so, you know, so colorful. And the costumes, of course, were full of color. And then the singing, they're just so sincere. And of course, today, sincerity is not hip. It's not cool. I think Lawrence Welk is corny and cheesy. That's part of what's great. I call it my guilty pleasure, but I don't feel guilty about it, actually. I think it's cool. The whole idea of camp is your perspective more than the actual content. So you can watch it as camp. You can watch it in this ironic fashion. That's something that I still enjoy it in this ironic fashion. I find it hilarious still. But I came to love it as more than something to laugh at.
Our very fine accordionists, Meyer and Florin, all of the Champagne music makers, join me now with that all-time favorite, Stumbling. One, two.
First thing you notice about Lawrence Welk is he has this really strange accent. English wasn't his first language. And German was his first language, and that's why he has this weird accent.
Ladies and gentlemen, I've had a little bathroom. Bobby, can I have a little water before I go on with the show?
He carried a baton.
Thank you very much, Bobby.
And he played the accordion. This is what's so great about the show is there's this connection to people's immigrant past.
The Irish in America have been famous in many fields, government, education, entertainment. And here's one Irishman who's pretty well known for his great tenor voice. Of course, I'm speaking of our own Joe Feeney. And of course, as
they
you can
play
see,
into whatever their immigrant past cliche is. So he's wearing a green suit and he's singing My Irish Rose.
My wild Irish rose, the sweetest flower that grows.
There's this point where he holds the microphone for him to kind of get him to raise his voice to a higher note.
Are they still your home?
So there's this great rapport between them. And then at the end, he says, listen to this.
Thank you. Now, wasn't that nice that he would let a German play for an Irishman here?
He's referring to himself as a German, but of course he's a German-American. There's a recognition that America, of course, is the land of immigrants. This is something that has been often lost in our contemporary rural America, I think.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm wearing the official jacket of the Future Farmers of America.
This is Myron Florin, and he's the Norwegian when Lawrence Welk refers to him.
This is a national organization of some 400,000 high school boys in the farming areas of America.
And this was a group that every kid that grew up in a small town, like my father was a member, would belong to. The expectation, of course, was that you would become a farmer eventually as well. You know, since the 1960s and 1970s, rural America has emptied out. The town that my father grew up in, where my grandfather farmed, it's a ghost town. That's why there's a certain melancholy to this show and to the program. Oh, one of the acts I remember on the Lawrence Welk Show is the tap dancer Arthur Duncan, who was one of the first African Americans on broadcast television.
Rhythm is his business.
So here, rhythm Arthur Duncan is tap dancing. The women are singing and looking on as he tap dances. Arthur Duncan was key to kind of preserving this very much African-American cultural tradition. Lawrence Welk considered him part of the family, the musical family. So he sang with, danced with white women. It was seen as completely normal. This was back in the 60s and 70s when there's still a lot of discomfort with racial integration. This is a time when I was going to school and there was a lot of protest about integrating the schools. So in a subtle way, he's challenging this.
A place like home for the holidays, 'cause no matter how far away you roam, if you want to be happy in a million ways, for the holidays you can't be home sweet home.
And this scene is basically a Thanksgiving dinner table where they're all sitting around and they start singing this beautiful song, Be Thankful.
Be thankful, be thankful for sweet things in life he is sharing.
They're sitting at this a table. There's Arthur Duncan. You know, all the food is there. You have this spotlight coming down as if from heaven on the front of the table where Jimmy Roberts is singing.
Be grateful to know.
The song Be Thankful was written by Irving Taylor, who was a Jewish New Yorker. This song is a recognition that everything you have, if you are a believer, comes from God. So you should be thankful that you are so blessed to have what you have. Of course, the implications for me are that you should reach out to help others.
For sweet things in life is sharing.
This particular scene, I think, is just so powerful because it has this kind of utopian vision of family that is not based on blood. It's based on friendship and love and joy. And it's not based on exclusion. It's based on inclusion. People from very diverse backgrounds.
To know he will always be caring.
Be thankful.
In our contemporary world, where there is this feeling among rural America that the coastal elites look down on us, that it can be useful to appreciate the culture of rural America. Now, this doesn't mean that this is going to bridge political divides, but it's at least something that we can use to work towards understanding. I mean, in my own family, both my parents are Republicans who watch Fox News. Yet I love them. I find ways to relate to them, you know, through culture. At the time I rediscovered the show, I went to visit my grandmother in a Florida nursing home. This was my mother's mother, actually. And I went to visit her in Florida with my mother. She just was very depressed. She was clearly in a place that she wasn't very happy. Later, when we said goodbye to her, which was the last time I saw her, my mom, you know, was like, oh, at least they're playing beautiful music. And I'm like, Mom, it's Lawrence Welk.
Good night, sleep tight, and pleasant dreams to you.
Everybody's room was playing Lawrence Welk.
Let every dream come true.
Studio 360's Jocelyn Gonzalez produced that story. So, do you have a TV show you love that would surprise people because it's so unfashionable or otherwise seems like something you would hate? Or a song or an app or a movie that you're obsessed with that might raise eyebrows? If so, that's a guilty pleasure, and we want to hear about it. Send an email or voice memo to incoming@studio360.org, and we may give you a call.